Good morning, everyone. Everyone doing good? Anyone excited out there? A little bit? Okay. Anyone discouraged? And yeah, we got a few people discouraged. Hopefully I encourage you and bring you into the encouragement Jesus has for us. I'll give you a proper introduction here soon of who I am, but I want to tell you this. Some of you may know this, being in Aggieville or being in a Aggie Nation like this. It is said that when a storm is brewing and on the plains of Kansas going into Colorado, that as a storm is coming, cattle will flee from the storm. And as they are fleeing from the storm, it elongates the progress that they're in the storm. But buffalo, on the other hand, would see the storms brewing, turn towards it, and as the storm begins to come, run into the storm. And so lessening the amount of time that they're in a storm. Now, I've never been a rancher. I'm from Texas. I've seen plenty of cattle. I like hamburgers, but I've never had a bison burger, but would love one if anyone have any bison. So you can tell me if that's true or not, but I want to go to a set of verse. We're going to be reading out of Jonah today and continuing in our series, Secret Identity, reading from the New Living Translation. Read this for me, or read along with me. And we're going to pick up in this story where Jonah has got onto a boat, and he's fleeing a something that God has asked him to do. And this is what it says. It says, "But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break this ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their guides for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. 'How can you sleep at this time? At a time like this,' he shouted. 'Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives.' Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah." The secret identity has come upon us. "The lots identified Jonah as the culprit. 'Why has this awful storm come down on us?' they demanded. 'Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?'" Jesus, I just pray in this moment, this time, Lord, that I can communicate what you had deposited in me to these people here, attending church, to hear from you. May I be a clear messenger in that, and may they be folks who would not be afraid of the storm, but go towards as we'll be talking about, the chaos, that they would order chaos, that they would properly direct the chaos in their lives and around them. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, what if I told you guys that the evil we see in the world today is because of Christians. Christians who aren't doing their job. It was asked once, it said, "If God is real, why is there so much evil in the world?" And I don't remember what the actual response was, but in simple terms, it was this. He had created humans to guard against evil. This book is called Jonah because God is doing something in Jonah, and he's using the chaos around him to create something in Jonah's life while also bringing about his kingdom and his reign. And if he doesn't live by the order God has given him, he's going to live in chaos. When we operate by God's identity, God-given identity, he brings godly order. My name is Jesse Brinson. My wife and I serve on a pastoral team with Pastor Jonathan Hubb. And we have three wonderful kids, and I don't want to dive too much into this, but obviously you can see that I'm black, she's white. And in today's world, and even before that, the chaos between interracial dating and marriages and all that. But we leaned into it, and we love each other, and 19 years would be in June, and looking for another 400 years together. As we've been going through our Secret Identity series, I couldn't help but just keep thinking about Kent, and him parading around as a journalist, but his secret identity being Superman. And it's interesting, you know, that Jonah has a secret identity that we're going to get to see about, and God in his wonderful way of creating art through literature invites us to see that. And so a little bit more about me. I help to lead the youth ministry here and outreach efforts. More and more, I'm seeing that from Zeb, and where did my friend Ian go? There, and Ian, two just young men who are excited about seeing their friends come to Jesus, live for Jesus, and changing the school and place around them. But if you want a title, if you're taking notes, you want a title, this is going to be called Ordering Chaos. So play on words. When you operate in God's godly identity, you order, you properly direct chaos. But when you don't operate in God, in your godly identity, did I put it up there wrong too? Yeah, but when you don't operate in your godly identity, you order, you invite chaos. And so we're going to take this opportunity to look at that through the story of Jonah. In verse 1 of Jonah, here's the theme. If you go home with anything, go home with this. Operating in godly identity brings godly order. Got that? We're good? All right. If you put that in your pocket and take it to the bank, you won't get money, but you'll get an eternal life. All right. So the Lord God gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Right there. We get to see his secret identity. What does this mean? Amittai means son of truth and faithfulness. All right, if I said of Hayden, man, that guy's faithful to be this way. He's faithful to do this. That means you can count on him. He's going to get it done. And that's who Jonah is supposed to be. And I just love it how God invites us into this story, and he's developing his character right before our eyes. There's so much to see right here. It's Jonah, son of Amittai. God tells us right away his secret identity. And then I have a question for you. In your secret identity, maybe you don't know that, but what word has come to you? What message has God come to you? Because he's probably trying to use that message to direct you towards some type of chaos. So in verse 2, it says, get up. This is the message that came to Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. What was Nineveh doing that was so bad that it got God's attention? They were wicked. Was that funny? That was a good one? Yes, right? They were wicked people, full of violence, wickedness, sexual sin. Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, I forgot how to pronounce that book, but Nahum tells us a lot about what they were doing and shows us, man, this is why God's judgment is coming upon them. Yeah, Nineveh is a city in Assyria, and it was Porter also terrorizing Israel. God had used them a little bit to discipline Israel, but in their own sin and corruption, they begin to try to take advantage of Israel. So they were like the neighbor who won't cut their yard, and the dandelions keep flooding into your yard, right? But a little bit worse than that. Just, they were in pure chaos. Verse 3 says, but Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He was like the cattle. He went in the opposite direction, and he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Let's see what happens when Jonah doesn't operate in his godly identity. God had given him a message. All right, he's faithful. You're son of truth. Go to the people of Nineveh. But he decides, no, I'm not going to be faithful. I'm going to go against that grain. I'm not going to operate in my godly identity. Verse 4 says, but the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ships apart. Fearing for their lives. This is our opening scene, our opening verses that I read. The desperate sailors shouted to the gods for help and knew the cargo and threw cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hole. Oh, this is so funny. How do you let the kids terrorize the house and you're on the couch taking a nap? That was me. Right before Zeb started walking, I remember taking a nap before I would go out to football practice when I coached in Lawrence. And I remember one day I had created this little camp where he had to stay in, and I was asleep. And I woke up and he was gone. And I knew, uh-oh, chaos has come upon our house. It's funny when you think about that, why do you call me Lord, Lord verse, right? Luke 6. 46 through 49 and 48, it says, when the flood came. It doesn't say if the flood came, so when the flood came. And my point, and one of the things I want to let you know right now, that hate storms, whether if they're here or they're coming, or they're coming. Storms are going to come in our life. Chaos is going to come in our life. Currently, unless you've been asleep, there is chaos in our city. And I'll get into a little bit more of that. But chaos is here, and it's at our front doors. What do I mean by chaos? A disregard for God's order. A disregard for God's order. Things might be tidy, but is it godly ordered, right? Is it in the order which God would have it? Jonah's chaos. Disobedience in his soul caused chaos for those sailors. So when we are in chaos, we're going to call chaos for people around us. You've probably seen it. I think it's illustrated mostly in little kids. When one kid comes in, they're having their issue. Everybody else is like, all right, well, the party is on, right? And everyone's taking stuff, crying, or whatever it may be. I don't know if you guys are fans of Martin Lawrence, but he used to have a show called Martin. And he played this character called White Bob. And White Bob would show up at the parties. And one of his famous lines was, as he showed up to one of the parties, Gina, who was in the show, the girlfriend and wife of Martin, was having a ladies' night out. And he showed up at the hotel where they was hanging out, and he answered the phone, and Martin was calling in like, man, who is this? He goes, man, I'm at a party, dude. And he goes, well, who are you? He's like, I'm Bob. He says, what's going on there? He goes, man, Gina's out of control. I'm out of control. This whole party is out of control. And that's how chaos happens. It's something that's out of control. No godly order. I remember being a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, started smoking weed at that time. No father in the home, no direction, no godly order. Mom tried her best. Right, but she was not created to be both mom and dad. And so I sought my fatherhood. I sought my identity in something else. So I helped start a gang because that's what I was told was going to help bring me significance. I was told that. And so I began to go head towards that. And as my ungodly order began to erupt, I remember one of the first acts that we had was that we were going to let our gang be known. So for no reason, no justifiable reason, this person didn't say anything about our gang. They didn't shoot up our neighborhood. They didn't steal a girlfriend. We just had to make ourselves known. So we found a guy at the bus stop, and for no reason, we beat him up. And as we were walking away, we were shouting our gang because we needed people to know that we're here. The ungodly chaos in myself. Down at Fort Scott, before we moved here, spending 2 years there on the JUCO campus amongst football players. If you've ever seen Last Chance U, the chaos that is there. But what we were able to do, not just myself, Brendan was with me. Where's Brendan at? I thought I heard him right there. A couple other guys. We went down there and we preached Jesus to our heart's content. We just preached and preached. to bring these guys into a godly order. That yes, you have the talent to play football. You have the talent to play sport. Man, God has more for your life than just football. And many guys bought into it. They went after it. And they begin to see and understand what it meant to be and have godly order. I say again, when you operate in your godly identity, you order, you properly direct chaos. But when you don't operate in your godly identity, you order, you invite chaos. Operating in godly identity brings godly order. And where was Jonah this whole time? Where are you when hell is breaking loose on the earth? When your friend's life is in shambles, when people are spewing lies and false agendas, when your neighbor is, next door is having domestic violence, right? When your kids can't figure out life and they're finding new addictions, where are you? Are you running from the chaos or are you running towards it? Verse 6, so the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? I feel like Tori has asked me that many a times. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded, who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? I feel I have a responsibility, not that anyone else ethnically couldn't speak to the issues that are facing the black community, but I feel definitely I am someone that should be bringing up some of the issues, the fatherlessness in homes, the victimization, etc. What nationality are you? Jonah answered, I am Hebrew. I'm a Christian. I worship the Lord. I worship Jesus Christ. All right, he is my Lord and my Savior, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And there it is. He just revealed his secret identity. He's not Clark Kent anymore. He's revealed. He's come to a point where he's going to let these guys know, hey, this is who I am. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. It's interesting to me how if you go out into the culture today, that people know who God is, and they are willing to hold you accountable to what God says, even if they don't believe. So why they look at you and they go, man, you're a Christian and you live like this? It's crazy, isn't it? You ever had that situation happen before? Here's, right? It's just like, wow, okay, yeah. Like, well, why haven't you changed your life also? You know? But they were running away. So, oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storms were getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to stop this? And here, in his secret identity being revealed, has the answer. Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again, and I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. We see the answer to the chaos. Why is there so much evil in the world? If you would say that, hey, I'm a Christian, I follow Christ, he is my Lord and my Savior, I read and obey and apply the word to my life, Maybe you're the reason. Maybe we're the reason. Maybe we're the cause for the storm. The man of God was sleeping in the hold of the boat. Let's continue. In verse 13, instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land. They did not want the blood of that man on their hands. Right? They were still carrying up. They were still affirming enough, like, hey, no, let's not do that. Let's try something else. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God, all right? They went from crying out to their gods to, all right, Lord, look, help us, please. Don't make us die. Don't make us die for this man's sin. If you've ever had a mother who was angry because the house was torn up when she came home, and she started beating everybody and to the culprit, please, mama, don't beat me because of their sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him, for your own good reason. Then the sailors picked Jonah up. Man, I would like to see this on a DVD player, man. They picked him up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. That would be awesome to see. What was this good reason? I have a couple questions for you. What is God trying to do in Jonah? What is God trying to do in you? I'm so encouraged by the listening prayers we've been hearing, that I've been doing for myself and hearing other people doing, that the chaos in people's lives and in my life too has been put away, the repentance, the confession of sin, and that God is replacing it with real identity, real truth. And I don't have to say, well, Jonathan told me this, or Ethan told me this. I'm like, man, no, the Lord told me this. And that is a different feeling, a different, not necessarily experience, but growth. Like, man, I'm hearing from God. What is God trying to do in you? What is God trying to do? What is God doing in Blue Mun Church? What is God doing in Manhattan? Verse 16, the sailors were awestruck by the Lord, great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Man, wow, powerful, powerful. I don't want to drag it on too long because I want to get to a point where you guys are not tired of me, but encouraged. So let's move on to chapter 2. And in the simplest form, right, there's this repentance that happens in Jonah. There's a repentance. There's something that is going on in him. There's this reversing of the chaos from inviting it to wanting to make sure it's put in its proper order. And it said this in verse 6. And if you would, just write down chapter 2. And I would ask you to go back and just read that. Take some time this week and read that and ask God, what are you saying to me in this? But verse 6 says, I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. If you're from Colorado or been to Colorado and seen those mountains or seen mountains even greater than that, to be at the foot of a mountain is something, but being in the depths of the ocean to see the roots of it, wow. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, as he's losing his breath and he's like, man, I'm done. I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. And he's literally saying at this moment, the people who worship other gods, nope, you're not the real one. I'm looking at this other thing to worship. But he said, no. That's not me. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill my vow, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. And so I don't think we're at the point where God has done what he's trying to do. We'll see that in chapter 4. But he did repent. And we do get to that point, guys. I was talking to a mom this morning, and she was telling me about her interaction with her kids. And she said, Jesse, do you ever get that way? And I didn't get to answer her honestly. But I was like, yeah. We still have 3 kids today. Thank you, Jesus. Right. But the thing I want to say is that we get to a point where this is where I'm at the depths of this chaos, but God, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to turn towards you and offer my life and do what you've called me to do. I believe the number one reason we get so mad at others is we forget who we are and what we are supposed to do, what God is trying to do in our life. We get so agitated with ourselves or agitated with people that we are forgetting what God is actually trying to do in us in the midst of that. And yes, everyone has a role. Everyone should run their lanes. But in the midst of that chaos, God is doing something in us. Ayana, as many of you know, had back surgery back December 7th. She had scoliosis of the spine. They put in rods. And Tori, being as motherly as she can, is helping her and trying to ease her. And there was moments when I'm trying to help Ayana and Tori would intervene. And I don't know if you guys notice or not, but I'm not a mother. So there's attributes about me that is not, I could try to my best, but there's something that Tori's supposed to do that I'm supposed to allow her to do. So I'm like, God, first of all, I'm mad at her because she's in the way because I'm trying to be a part. And God's like, well, is that what I created you to do? And I'm like, no, because I'm not a mother. How do I be a father? And he said, Jesse, be what you are. I said, like, encourage her. She can do it. And he's like, yes. And I was like, that's too easy. And literally, my life changed. Tori was doing what she loved to do, being there in those moments, helping. And I'm like, hey, honey, you can do it. Come on. Because there was moments where they would come in and check her feet, right? And she needed to move her feet, make sure there's no issues with being paralyzed. And she's like, oh, it hurts. But you can do it. Move that toe. Wiggle, wiggle. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. And I would just turn it into some type of show and have fun. Tori did her part. I did my part. Together, we did our parts as parents. And my anger and my frustration with Tori subsided, boom, because it wasn't her. It was what God was trying to do in me. Jonah repents of his disobedience. He goes to Nineveh. What do you need to repent of not walking in your God-given identity? What chaos is God sending you to? Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver this message I've given you. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see all of it. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowd, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And the people said, forget you, Jonah. We're going to do our own thing. Actually, this is what they said. The people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. In its original text, it is said that Jonah preached 5 words. Right? Sometimes we look at chaos and go, man, this is going to be tough. God, my baby's on the bed. She's trying to recover from a surgery. And all you want me to do is go, girl, you can do it. All right. But you said it. And it was just that easy. Sometimes we look at chaos and we get pretty intimidated by it. I think a lot of times it was a lot easier than we think when God's involved. It is said it, they repented, they fasted, they stopped doing the evil. They refrained from doing the violence. Unfortunately, if you go back and read, they years later began to go back into it and found God's judgment. Moving on to chapter 4. The change of plans greatly upset Jonah. And he became very angry, so he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That this is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. You're eager to turn your back from destroying people. Susanna, are you laughing because it sounds like a sibling rivalry?
Because I relate to it. I'm like,
okay, all right. Because when I thought about it, that's what it sounds like to me. Mom, she did this, and you need to crucify her. All right, you shouldn't have did that. All right, now go back and play. No, you got to. That's what it seems like. Some type of sibling rivalry, some type of hatred and envy going on in Jonah's heart. But interestingly enough, Jonah tells us what his issue is. The question I have for you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about it. I just told you what the answer is, but I'm going to give you a way to think about it. What was Jonah missing? What was God getting at in Jonah? What was God getting at in Jonah? And could that be the same in us when we begin to flee from chaos? I knew that you were a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Is that what we're missing, guys? I think that's what Jonah was missing. Not full of mercy, not full of compassion, quick to get anger, failing love. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because of the plant died. So what happened was Jonah is sitting on a mountain. He's looking over the city of Nineveh. God causes a plant to grow. And then a day later or so, that plant dies. And he's using that quick instance to help Jonah realize, hey, the love he has for people and what he wants to do and bringing them towards him. So he said, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. It's funny. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. I wish I had took time and will take time. God throws in, not to mention all the animals. Man, he is in the process. He is wanting to restore all things to him. People, animals, plants, etc. And all of it. Should not feel sorry for such a great city. Curtain closed. Shouldn't we feel sorry for such a great city as Manhattan? Shouldn't we feel sorry for our neighbors? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we do something about it? Shouldn't we feel sorry about our pregnancy care center, where people can't get sonograms to see their baby? They say, I forgot the percentage, but you might know it. I think it's like 85% of people who decide to have an abortion, once they see the picture of their kid, decide against it. Does anyone know that statistic? I know it's a high statistic. I'm pretty close, okay? And thank you, Susan, for leading that charge for us. But my friends, our showing wasn't good. Not many of us at Blue Mud Church showed up. I'm included. And I begin to think about that. Okay, God, I believe in the pregnancy care center. I believe in saving the unborn lives. And so we're having Tori and I have to have a conversation. Okay, God, how are we going to give to this? I did find out that they raised $33,000 over their $44,000 goal. And it's not too late for us to still give financially. And we were part of the Pregnancy Care Center in Lawrence. There's so many things you can do, from helping to order their closet that they have to donating foods and different things. But we should put our hand to the plow on that. Shouldn't I want to order? Shouldn't I feel sorry about this great city? So how do we do this? How do we bring order to ourselves? How do we continue to live? And how do we be like Jonah and go to Nineveh? The first thing I want to say, ordered chaos, properly directed chaos. This is your chance to respond. This is how you can respond. This is how you can take ownership of what you've heard this morning. Allow godly order to come to your own life. Answer the question, what chaos is God sending you to properly direct? And then 3, join what Blue Mud Church is doing. When we think about allowing godly order to come into your life, what do you need to repent of that you aren't walking in your godly identity and that secret identity that you've been hearing about? Is it the empire family? You've been walking in the empire mindset. There's not enough. You know, it's got to be perfect. Is it the fear of God that Rich talked about? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't have a proper fear of God. What is it? What do you need to repent of? I like, and we are so excited for our emotionally healthy spirituality. Wednesday nights at 6, right? Did I get that right up there? I mean, I'm not presuming, I think is how you say it, right, that to get over anything you have chaos-wise in your life is a Lord, thank you, I repent of this, and it's done. Because I can tell you, there's some things in my life that I'm still, God is uncovering and revealing to me. And Emotionally Healthy did that for us. And I'm going on my third one, so as you can see, there's a lot of chaos going. Come on, guys, you can laugh. I just have to. But my point is that, like, man, God is wanting to reveal to you not only steps that you can do to continue to order, properly direct the chaos in your life, but give you some tools that can help others. That's right. As Brendan talked about, contend for others. Sometimes that's praying. Sometimes that's fasting for them. Sometimes that's just, hey, have you tried this? Are you lacking immersion, mercy, compassion? Are you slow to anger? That's something God's been working on me with. I tell you, Zeb is 16 years old. He's going on 17, and I am ready to put him in a headlock and beat him down. But when I think about God, slow to anger and the opportunities he's given me over and over and over again, not that it's only Zeb, or I'm just, you know, I'm a dad. I love the kid, the young man. But are you lacking in mercy, compassion, slow to anger? Are you the unfailing love? What chaos is God sending you to properly direct? New job, school, growing the family. Never so much, at least in the 42 years that I've been here, that I've seen that, man, to display family is so important right now. There's such a breakdown in the family that people think family is, I don't know, just two partners with a kid or so. It's family is so much, it's the cornerstone of communities. It's a dad and a mom loving their kid or kids. That's going forth in the community and serving and being an example. So maybe God is asking you to grow your family. I don't know. Serving opportunities. An invitation to speak with neighbors on different matters. There's somehow we get to a point and we think. That God wants us to get to just the easy life. Like everything is smooth, everything is great. That there's life without any challenges. But it says when the storms come, when the floods come, life is going to have its challenges. There's going to be chaos. There isn't there are seasons, but God is calling us towards something. And the way God orders it isn't by avoiding chaos, but going right through the chaos. The third thing, join what Blue Mud Church is doing. As a church, we were headed to Jumpstart. I'm there 4 days a week, 12 to 3, at Eisenhower Middle School. And I enjoy it. I love it. I love Fort Scott. I think I was breeded for chaos. It was always something going on, and it's always something going on there. And I'm going to tell you some of the negative things I've saw, but there's a ton of good things going. But I mean, there was one kid, I just showed up, and these are moments when I know God is using me and God called me to Eisenhower. I show up and this kid is throwing, it splits his left and his right, and he's trying to leave the school. Boop you guy. Forget that woman. I hate y'all anyway. You guys are the ops. And just going haywire. And so the kid is trying to leave the campus because they could end up in jail for leaving the campus. They can't do that. And trying to save him from having or starting a record that way, I step in front of the kid and I go, hey, man, look, just calm down. It's going to be okay. No, forget this. And he's just left and right. And eventually I'm able to help de-escalate the young man so he could talk it out, get the situation dealt with. And I bring it up because there is chaos at this school. And much of it isn't the curriculum, though that it's taking part. And I don't think, and I would like to say that a lot of these teachers, man, they want to be there. But that kid was particularly, he didn't have a dad at home. Some of those kids had been abused in different ways. Some of them have no purpose for being there. I don't care. I'm just here. Why are you here? Well, my friends are here. There's no purpose for them being there. And it's a great place for people like Blue Mud Church, who wants to be a city on the hill, to go and serve. We're talking, Jonathan and I, we're talking to, her name is Andrea Curtis. And she's like, well, what are you guys, literally she's asking us, what do you guys want to do? Right, so, okay, you're just going to give us the keys. We'll take them. All right, here's one thing we think that would add value to you guys, a character lesson. You might be thinking, Jesse, I don't know if I could be a part of Jumpstart. I got a business to run. I have a 9-to-5 I got to be a part of. ask your boss, hey, can I take 2 or 3 hours for this one time a week or this two times throughout between this time period to be there? Maybe if your business creates different products, you could donate some of those products. That might bless the kids. Last year, we bought ice cream, ices for the kids. The church purchased that. Maybe you want to give towards that. If you're a mom, you're like, hey, I got kids. It's going to be tough. Can I bring my kids? I don't know you can do that. You probably don't want them around them just yet. But I bet those teachers would love some cookies. I would. Right? There's so many ideas we can come up with to be involved with this school. The chaos is thick there. And that's what we're going to be doing this summer. Another one is, let's go to Chicago. There's a few of us going. Come on to Chicago with me. Right? Matter of fact, if you sign up for Jumpstart, I'll pay for your ticket to go to Chicago with us. No, honestly. All right? That'll be your prerequisite to go to Chicago. No. Either or, but my point is, as a church, we're going to Chicago. And as many of you know, there's a lot of disorder in Chicago. And we're going to the thick of it. All right? It's called O'Block. You can search it up. There's going to be plenty of information on there. But this guy, Corey Brooks, this pastor, has brought about godly order to this place. If the worship team would come up, we're gonna end in a song. And if you would answer these, or come think about the answers to these questions or these thoughts as the song is being played. Is there anything you need to repent of that you haven't been operating in your godly identity about? What chaos is God sending you to properly direct? And God, okay, speak to me, Lord. What should I sign up and how should I sign up and be a part of what Blue Moon is doing this summer? I'm gonna close with prayer and then I'm gonna turn it over to Jared. God, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that you have given us an identity that no one could take, that no one could destroy. And I pray that you would begin to set up, not boundaries, but things that help us push away the lies that talk about identity, and that we would have ears to hear what you're saying to us. And Lord, that we wouldn't be afraid of the storm, the chaos, but that we would go to it for the purpose of properly directing it, Lord, and that we would have faith in it, that we'd be trustworthy, that we'd be like Jonah and go and be faithful in it, Lord. Give us, Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.